Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Thursday morning, July 25th, 2024. Great to be back with you back in southeastern Michigan. The last 2 days, of course, a couple of days up in northern Lower Michigan's Mackinac Island for the annual Grand Getaway. And if you listened on Tuesday, we broadcast live. And thanks to Vanessa Denhagarmo for sitting in for me yesterday. Really appreciate it. Coming up on the program today, so excited to have Father Mitch Pacwa with us again. He joins us on Thursdays for our segment called Cultural Connections. This weekend, he's celebrating a big birthday, 75 years. And we're also going to get his take on the new developments regarding Joe Biden and his address to the nation last night, where he didn't give us any specific reasons why he needs to step down, said nothing about his health, nothing about his cognitive abilities or lack thereof, and only said it was time for younger voices and to pass the torch. But it really is very confusing because at the same time, he said that he is dedicated to the job and he's going to continue being president, and whatever happens, he'll be there and he's going to be solving all of our problems, such as the economy and other issues. Okay, so why are you stepping aside? If you're fine and you're determined to finish this and you're able to do this, why do you need to step aside and not be involved in the election? It makes no sense unless there is a coordinated effort behind the scenes to push him out because the Democrats did not think he was going to be successful in November and to move forward with their own plans and agenda. Skipping over democracy, he talked about democracy last night. He talked about we can't have a dictatorship. And yet you have so many people within the party, many people on the left, including extreme leftists, such as Black Lives Matter, is calling out the Biden administration and the Democratic Party for what's going on. You know it's bad when Black Lives Matter is saying that Biden, Harris, and the Democrats are not paying attention to democracy and they are taking advantage of black voters. Their words, not mine. And we'll have a story about that in the news. And Father Mitch is always excellent to give us perspective because he comes at it as a truly Catholic perspective, but also an expert in history. And will also give us some, you know, walking action items, okay? What we need to do in terms of paying attention, especially over the next couple of months. So we'll discuss with Father Mitch. And then wrap up with a wonderful ministry called SimeonFaith.com. Yelena Popovic is an executive, a CEO of Simeon Faith, and talking about their efforts to put out movies about the saints in a very, very unique way. So that's what's coming up on this edition of Catholic Connection. Let's do the forecast for you at about 3 minutes past the hour. The National Weather Service says we will see some excessive rainfall in southeastern Texas as well as southern Louisiana. Dangerous heat in the west and the northern plains are saying heavy to excessive rainfall that will continue through today from southeast Texas into southern Louisiana, bringing a nice big threat, unfortunately, of flash and small stream flooding. And they also say excessive rainfall is in effect through today. And you can also expect dangerous heat continuing across the western and U.S. northern plains through today with high temperatures exceeding possibly 100 degrees. Wow. So be careful out there. Make sure you stay well hydrated if you're in those affected areas. You are listening to EWTN. This program, as you heard at the top of the hour, is co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. A ton of news to get through, so let's get started on a Thursday morning. It's July 25th, 2024. Joe Biden addressed the nation last night for the first time since his decision to drop out of this year's election. While speaking from the Oval Office, the president gave no specific reason for his bowing out of the election, only saying the best way forward for the country was to pass the torch to a new generation. He said now is the time for fresh and younger voices, endorsing Vice President Harris to be the Democratic nominee. The president announced abruptly on Sunday he would exit the race following weeks of pressure from Democratic allies concerned over his mental fitness and whether he could defeat Donald Trump in November. With President Joe Biden bowing out of the presidential race following pressure from within his home party, the vice president is the likely Democratic nominee to face former President Donald Trump. Now, as Catholic News Agency reports, and I really encourage you to read this full report, CatholicNewsAgency.com, Throughout her career as Vice President, Senator, and Attorney General of the State of California, she has, as CNA describes, taken a variety of stances that pose problems for Catholic voters. She has consistently promoted abortion. She has scrutinized Catholic judicial nominees and opposed pro-life pregnancy centers and activists. She has also embraced gender ideology, as well as transgender and contraception mandates that have at times jeopardized religious freedom. In September of last year, the Vice President embarking on a tour stopping at various college campuses called the Fight for Our Freedoms College Tour, where she promoted abortion and other aspects of the administration's agenda. At the beginning of this year, she also launched another speaking tour to promote abortion called Fight for Reproductive Freedoms. During the tour, Harris became the first sitting president to visit an abortion facility back in March. She toured a Planned Parenthood location in Minneapolis, and at the event, she praised abortionists and criticized pro-life lawmakers who voted to put limits on abortion. Mark Mayfield tells us Fox News is proposing a debate between Vice President Harris and former President Trump.
The network has suggested the debate be held September the 17th in Pennsylvania. Trump had been scheduled to face President Biden in a second debate on September the 10th, hosted by ABC News, before Biden decided to drop out of the race. Fox News Media has sent letters to both campaigns about the proposed debate that would be moderated by Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. Trump has said he's willing to debate Harris multiple times now that she is the presumptive Democratic nominee for president.
And we'll talk about this interesting story more with Father Mitch Pacla in about 9 minutes or so. Black Lives Matter criticizing the Democratic Party for what they say is the anointing of Vice President Harris as the expected Democratic presidential nominee without a public vote. Newsweek reporting that responding to the developments, Black Lives Matter criticized Democrats for not giving voters a say, calling on the Democratic National Committee to host a virtual primary ahead of the party's convention next month. Newsweek said they did contact Black Lives Matter, the Harris campaign, and the DNC for comment. In a post on X, BLM said a 24-hour process of talking to party bosses is not democratic, nor is it a process Democrats should be proud of. We do not live in a dictatorship. Delegates are not oligarchs. In another statement, BLM said Democratic Party elites and billionaire donors are attempting to manipulate black voters by anointing Kamala Harris and an unknown VP as a new Democratic ticket without a primary vote. Installing Harris, they say, as a Democratic nominee and an unknown vice president without any public voting process would make the modern Democratic Party, BLM says, a party of hypocrites, and they're calling on the DNC to create a process that allows for public participation in the nomination process and not just a nomination, they said, by party delegates. The U.S. House of Representatives is setting up a bipartisan task force to investigate the Trump assassination attempt. House Speaker Mike Johnson and Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries saying this week that task force will be made up of 7 Republicans and 6 Democrats and will have subpoena authority. In a joint statement, both Johnson and Jeffries said the task force will move quickly to find the facts, ensure accountability, and make certain such failures never happen again. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu delivering an address to a joint meeting of Congress yesterday, stressing the U.S. and Israel must stand together against Iran's axis of terror.
They dragged 255 people, both living and dead, into the dark dungeons of Gaza. Israel has already brought home 135 of these hostages, including 7 who were freed in daring rescue operations.
Netanyahu's visit, meanwhile, to the capital was met with large demonstrations around the grounds that included thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters. The prime minister saying those protesters are choosing to stand with rapists and murderers.
I have a message for these protesters. When the tyrants of Tehran, who hang gays from cranes and murder women for not covering their hair, are praising, promoting, and funding you, you have officially become Iran's useful idiots.
Pro-Palestinian demonstrators burned an American flag, defaced monuments during yesterday's protests in Washington, D.C., among other actions. They demanded a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Dozens of Democrats, meanwhile, boycotted the speech due to the prime minister's handling of the war. And former President Donald Trump telling Fox News this morning that there should be consequences for those burning the American flag.
Rarely have we seen anything like this, and I think you should get a one-year jail sentence if you do anything to desecrate the American flag. Now, people will say, oh, it's unconstitutional. Those are stupid people.
The protesters again demanding a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. The U.S. Department of Education continuing to investigate alleged civil rights violations at UC Davis and Sacramento State. The Department's Civil Rights Office looking into two alleged violations of the Civil Rights Act on the campus as tensions rose during protests against the war.
What's interesting to note is most people don't know that UC Davis actually had the most reported cases of anti-Semitic complaints throughout the entire UC system.
That's Jonathan Groveman, a member of the pro-Israel group Davis October 7th Coalition. Federal officials sent letters dated last month to UC Davis Chancellor Gary May. One details of a complaint of alleged discrimination against students of Jewish or Israeli descent. Oklahoma is releasing guidelines on how public schools should add the Bible to their lesson plans. A guide from State Superintendent Ryan Walters calls for schools to provide a copy of the Bible as a resource in every classroom. The guidelines mandated last month require public school teachers to use a Bible as part of Oklahoma's existing social studies program. Walters told the Washington Examiner on Wednesday that the radical leftist mob has tried to rewrite history in Oklahoma, but that state schools will refocus our children's education so they know the value of the Bible in its historical context. Natalie Migliori tells us health experts are talking about what to look for as a listeria outbreak hits a dozen states, including New York and Pennsylvania, killing one person in New Jersey.
Holy Name Medical Center infectious disease doctor Suraj Kumar Sagar says most people are able to get over listeria with minimal symptoms.
You may have a little vomiting. You might have a little stomach upset. You take some Tums. You take over-the-counter medications, and within a day or two, it goes away. So in general, most people's immune systems can take care of this bacteria in and of its own.
However, the doctor says high-risk groups like young children, elderly adults, and pregnant women must be more vigilant. Deli products like unpasteurized milk and raw cheeses can be linked to listeria, but more than a dozen people infected this time around say they recently ate deli meat, including turkey and ham.
And finally, our news segment at almost 13 minutes past the hour on a very busy, busy news day. It's Thursday, July 25th. Cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike promising to do better after a faulty software update caused a global computer outage last week. The outage affecting Windows systems across multiple industries, including airlines, banks, and hospitals. The company now says it plans to improve software tests moving forward. We'll be right back with Father Mitch Pacwa, and you might want to go to EWTN.com, always, of course, to see what kind of programs, but to see how you could email or give Father a birthday wish, because he's celebrating 75 years coming up, and we'll talk about that, as well as his thoughts on what's happening in our country with democracy or lack thereof, even Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, this is how crazy this situation is, calling out Biden, Harris, and the Democrats for not being Democratic. You can't make this up. We'll be right back.
Catholic Charities of Shiawassee and Genesee Counties have been providing health and creating hope since 1941. It's the generosity of donors that allows them to provide necessary services, such as their warming center, which provides refuge and comfort to thousands in our community. They also offer hot meals in their soup kitchens and help families make ends meet in their community closet. Even the smallest donation makes a meaningful difference. Join us in their mission by giving a donation at CatholicCharitiesFlint.org.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu. This Saturday morning at 11:30, join us for another special edition of the Bishop's Hour. Bishop Earl Boyer of the Lansing Diocese joins host Father Tim McDonald for an engaging conversation. This week, they reflect on the Catholic Media Association Awards recognizing the Lansing Diocese, the new Padre Pio Medical Center at Howell, and a progress report on the Diocesan Capital Campaign. It's the Bishop's Hour, Saturday morning at 11:30 and repeated on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on this Ave Maria radio station.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
15 minutes past the hour every Thursday at this time on Catholic Connection, which is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We bring on Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN for our cultural connections. And Father is celebrating a milestone birthday in a couple of days, 75 years young. Father, we're so blessed, and we wish you many, many more birthdays. So what are your big birthday plans, first of all?
Well, I have I'm going to have a few friends over for a little dinner on Saturday. That's my birthday. And, I harvested a ram. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cook that. Over in the Detroit area, you all would appreciate the, I'm going to do it with a Greek recipe, make sort of a stew out of that. Mm. And then, I also have some elk burgers. So I'm going to take some ground elk and make burgers out of it.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Good. We're so happy for you.
For the ram.
We're blessed by your presence on EWTN and all your great work. I was thinking about you in terms of your knowledge of not only our faith, but United States history and what's happening. Very disappointing with the President of the United States last night, really not giving us any direction as to why he's leaving the presidential race, just saying that, hey, he's fine, he's great, he's going to continue being, you know, the best president ever. I'm paraphrasing, of course, so basically saying, you know, I've done all these wonderful things, I'm going to continue to do this even more. Then why are you stepping aside? And you owe the American people an explanation, and we're not getting anything.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, this is certainly a fairly serious issue. The reason that it is so serious is that, in without further explanations, I mean, the explanations that, for instance, that we're getting about the assassination of Pence on Donald Trump, that hasn't been real clear yet. The explanations of exactly why President Biden is withdrawing from the presidential race, that's not totally clear. And the bad part of that, one bad part of that is when there is a lack of clarity, then people speculate, oftentimes fairly dumbly. They often make it worse than what it probably really is, but without explanations, you can't know.
Right.
And that's the reality. And I don't think that is so good. We're not little kids. We can handle the truth. And I think that would be a good start here, is tell us more of what is going on, so that it's not something that President Biden is all to blame for. I mean, you also have a lack of transparency from the head of the Secret Service. We have apparently little knowledge available to us from the head of the FBI.
But those are all Trump. Those are all Biden-appointed people. It's his administration.
See, and that doesn't make this any better. You know, this is one of the problems, is that, we don't see that there is, the kind of clarity that we should have in regard to what's happening here. Of course, there's always things that are not the business of the public.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But there are other elements that are our business. Because these are, for instance,
we're seeing that Vice President Harris is being chosen for the role as presidential candidate, and most it seems that most folks in her party are, you know, slipping into that. Not all have said anything, but most people seem to be pretty happy with that. But
you're talking about the top level of the Democratic Party, because you've got Black Lives Matter saying it's an anointing, saying they skip democracy, saying they're a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, you have Black Lives Matter, Father, saying that this is problematic.
Yeah, and see, that is one other difficulty that you run into then. You know, what are you going to do to communicate? And, you know, so far, you see, you know, the Republicans talking about the proponents of democracy and saving democracy not having a Democratic vote. And you don't hear that so much yet from the various rank and file. You just don't see that yet. But if they don't, if they end up not liking her, that something doesn't ring true, something doesn't work out, then you're asking for trouble. That's just a flat reality. And this, like you said, Black Lives Matter is saying, where's the democracy? You know, they want to see more of that. This is an important issue. And so I just don't like the lack of transparency. It's not the first time. It's not something that's only a Democratic issue.
Right.
This is a political issue, mm-hmm. where our, you know, so often our politicians don't trust us. They don't tell us things. They think we're kids and we're adults. So that's another concern that I have at this point.
And again, the transparency, the lack thereof. I mean, we're talking not only about the president's address last night, but also the situation with Harris. And then you mentioned the Secret Service. And I don't know, I listened to almost that entire congressional hearing with the head of the Secret Service. And there were Democrats and Republicans alike jumping all over her. And even AOC came out and said this is unacceptable,
right,
because there's no answer, and how could this have happened? And you know, it's one thing, Father, to go into a meeting, and as you said, there's some things that they can't reveal because they could be putting certain people in harm's way, or there's things that we can't know just yet. But she had no answers to basic, simple questions. I don't know who advised her going into that meeting. You can't go in front of the American people, in front of the United States Congress, and not get any answers about the Secret Service. And she did say, oh, yeah, we had a huge lapse in security, sorry, but then gave no specifics, zip, zero, nada.
Hey, well, see, that's exactly right. And, see, somebody like AOC and others have to really take a serious look at all this, because their lives are at stake, too.
Right.
And there are bad people who, for all kinds of reasons, would want to, might consider assassinating Representative Ocasio-Cortez. That would be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But they would do it. And this is something that we have to pay close attention to. This is no small issue, and we cannot treat this as inconsequential. And so I'm concerned about that, as she is. Assassination is not the way we want to have our politics governed. We want answers. And at the same time that there's an attempt on the candidate for one of the parties, for the Republicans, right before the Republican convention, you have the other candidate resign after telling us for weeks that he would not resign.
Right.
This is all very odd to me. I think American systems, to explain this to us so we understand.
And that's the issue. We need to understand this. We have a right to know. The American people have a right to know. And this whole idea of there was no cover-up, don't look here, look over here. And the whole thing with the Secret Service, this is a bipartisan effort. I just had a story in the news, as you mentioned. There are people on both sides of the political aisle who are very upset about this, and they're actually digging in for a deeper investigation. But again, Cheadle, the head of the Secret Service, gets to stay in because this administration doesn't do anything with her. How could that happen? I mean, we're talking about the safety of all leaders, not just Republicans. And of course, so much cover-up coming from the White House with no clear explanation last night as to why Joe Biden is stepping out of the race. More with Father Mitch when we come back. The very abrupt announcement by President Joe Biden to, as Father Mitch Pacwa said earlier, to move out of the race when he was so very determined to stay in after there were calls for him to step down from top Democrats for weeks since the very troubling debate performance on June 27th. A lot of people aren't buying it. Many people on both sides are raising questions because we have a right to know as the American people why the President of the United States says he is not going to be running for office. Doesn't say anything about not being fit. As a matter of fact, says he's fine. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He's very fit to be able to continue as president. But how is that? How can that be when he is saying that he has to turn the torch over to younger voices? It doesn't make any sense. It's inconsistent. And all of us have a right to know as Americans because we are paying for their salaries as taxpayers, but also from a Catholic perspective because we are looking at everything through lenses of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church and truth of the capital T being our Lord. And this, I think, is super important, Father. We have to do our homework, don't we, as Catholics, especially in this election?
Well, we have to do our homework. I think we also have to be extremely cautious about what we're hearing from the various media outlets. Are they going to just use this as a way to spin the news? Is this a way to spin the news? Is this a way to spin the news? Is this a way to spin the news?
Oops, Father, we're losing you. Are you there? Okay, Father, we're going to call you back. We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN. And don't forget to always tune into his great programs, including EWTN Live. We're talking this morning with Father Mitch about our cultural connections segment. We do this every single Thursday, having a little bit of a phone issue. I don't know what happened. That sometimes happens with live radio. Discussing this morning the importance of Catholics doing our homework. We should be doing this in every election. I mean, the Church is pretty clear about this. If you go to the citizenship website, Faithful Citizenship for the Bishops, they encourage us to make sure we are considering our sources in the media and considering them wisely, and not just to just take as what the media are saying as, you know, no pun intended, the gospel truth. Because now more than ever, with the media so divided and the country so divided, it is super crucial and important for us to make sure we are doing our homework. That's why we strive here at EWTN to provide you with really good news sources. Okay, Father, so you were saying before we were interrupted by some sort of a technological glitch, we have you back on now, the importance of Catholics making sure they're researching before they go into the polls.
Yeah, you shouldn't let old guys play with this newfangled machine. I think we also have to be extremely alert to the role of the media and what we can do to help as we who are in the media need to help out to make sure that we are doing everything we can to get information out there. And sometimes it's just we're blocked as well. but also as citizens, to be extra alert to that need to search out probably a variety of sources of media. We're going to most likely need to have multiple media sources available to us all the time. Just because this is something that so many of the media on the right and on the left are going to be doing more propaganda than they are, more propaganda than they are reporting. And I'm starting to say how they have to be tribunes for us. That is, those sources that make sure we get as much incorrect information as possible. This is a tremendous need from the different media. It's not a luxury to have such good media. It is a necessity, and I think we need to really work hard on that.
I think what you have to also trust your gut is in the Holy Spirit. If you're reading something and it doesn't sound correct to you and you're just, that doesn't seem right, then you have to take it one step further. And again, you have to judge everything against Scripture and the teachings of the church. What am I reading and what is this saying about this particular issue or this particular candidate? And you know, if it's on the left and they're saying everything is wonderful and perfect, if it's on the right and they're saying everything is wonderful and perfect, on both sides of the aisle we have, you know, Houston, we have a problem, we have issues. And so we have to,
Exactly. Because, you know, again, all of them in the media have their own candidates that they want to see in there. And we are called to be very cautious about that. And again, as Catholics, we are going to want to have a different sense than a lot of the other media. We really are going to seek that moral concern. That is a very, very big issue for us. We're concerned about the issues of life and human dignity and preservation of life, an end to violence, all that, including political violence. We don't want to see more violence. We want to see less of it. And this is going to be part of our approach. We have a set of very crucial values on which our eternal life depends. See, that's, for us, it's not about success of our political party. That's why we care about abortion and euthanasia in ways differently. We don't, the ability of other human beings to kill other human beings, the basis of your policy, your number one voting issue, that's a mistake.
Right, right.
That's a huge, that's a sinful mistake. And then to be surprised when there's violence in the streets?
Right. Well, Mother Teresa talked about that so much. What do you expect? As she said at the prayer breakfast so many years ago, and then you have so many problems here in this country when you're killing the babies in the womb. Father, we are out of time, but thank you so much. Wishing you a very happy birthday.
Thank you.
And hoping that you have many, many more. Enjoy your ram dinner. I know some people who are going to your party. I'm going to ask them about your recipe because you mentioned the Greek influence because you spent time here in Detroit. And just so people know, we have a very large and wonderful Greek population, Greek-American population in Metro Detroit, even an entire Greek town downtown with terrific restaurants as well as other great restaurants around the area. And Father Mitch learned some recipes, apparently, when he spent time in Motown when he was studying, right?
That and also in Chicago.
There you go. That's right.
In Chicago,
too. Yeah. All right, my friend. Enjoy. We'll talk to you, God willing, next week. The one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN joins us on Thursdays for Cultural Connections. Speaking of the culture, wrapping up with SimeonFaith.com, Yelena Popovic. She's the CEO of this wonderful outlet that is doing a great job of bringing the lives of the saints to us very differently. We'll explain coming up next. 39 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Wrapping up a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. We're having a great day as we move through this last week of July. Hard to believe. Yelena Popovic has been on with us before. She's with SimeonFaith.com, one of the CEOs. And Yelena, great to talk with you again. So you've got some really neat projects that you're working on. Thanks for coming back. I know that there's a particular movie that you're promoting, but for those who may not be familiar with the wonderful ministry, Simeon Faith, tell us a little bit about it first. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
Simeon Faith is a finance production company that we just formed that it's geared to make films that are about saints or they're connected to those kind of stories, because we believe there are so many wonderful stories out there. They're not only spiritual, but on a human level, they can appeal to different kinds of audiences, because these are very inspiring, moving stories of incredible individuals that lived a Christ-like life. The first film on the slate that we're going to do, and this particular film I wrote and I will direct, it's called Moses the Black, and it's inspired by a saint, Saint Moses the Black, or Saint Moses the Ethiopian. There are different names that are being used for him. It's a saint who lived in the 4th century in Egypt, who started his life as a robber and a criminal, but then through a miraculous intercession, he had an incredible repentance. And not only that, he just stopped doing what he was doing that wasn't good, but he, through incredible repentance, reached a very high level of spirituality, where he became a priest and then later a spiritual father at the monastery, where a lot of very familiar saints to both Roman Catholic and Orthodox Church would actually were either his teachers or they were learning from him. I mean, so that's quite an incredible story in that sense. It's just that instead of making the whole story of his life set in the 4th century Egypt, I was thinking, how do I bring a saint like this in today's world? Mm-hmm. In a sense, how do I bring him to hearts of people today so they can be inspired by him and so he can help them in many ways? So I thought of, for a while I was thinking about it, and I realized maybe the best way was to make a story of a current day, not a saint, but a person who is from the inner city of Chicago, who is a gangster and who will basically encounter he's going to see, when I say see, I don't want to give away the whole film, but he's going to encounter St. Moses the Black, real saint, and he's going to realize that this is the real person who once existed, and it's going to inspire him. The story of St. Moses will inspire him to make a change in his life. And that way, I think that people today might have him as a role model. Who knows? And they might also be inspired with this incredible man who lived back then. And we can also see that we through history, used to have similar problems, the same problems that are plaguing our society today. They existed in 4th century, and that only through basically repentance and devotion to God and his help and intercession, we can restore our lives, and not only restore them, but we can also be very useful for the society and become saints.
Amen. Amen. So tell us, in terms of a release date, do you have any? When is the movie coming out? And in terms of the funding, how will it get out there?
Okay, well, we are fully funded already for the company, we are just in the process of attaching lead actors right now. So the plan is to go into production in November, and so the release date will, God willing, it will be set out for either Easter or something like that for next year, for 2025, in the theaters.
Now, this is so important, and I think it's really neat the way you're approaching this. We're talking with Yelena Popovic, one of the CEOs, actually, of Simeon Faith. SimeonFaith.com is the website. Because you know this, obviously, as you just explained, the stories of the saints, even though they may have happened, and we do have some more modern saints, for example, in the last 100 years, but all the different saints that we have, over 10,000 in the Catholic Church, their stories are incredible. And even though many of them may have occurred in the 4th century or earlier or later, the problems, as you said, I mean, you know, as it says in Ecclesiastes, there's really nothing new under the sun, right? That the things that we saw before, we're seeing it. We may see it differently or in a larger fashion because of the mass media, but many of the issues that we're facing today are played out in the lives of the saints and from which we can learn. And there's so many. How do you go about deciding, given the great variety that we have of personalities and experiences of the saints, deciding which will become a subject of one of your films? It's got to be a challenge, given all that we have to draw from.
Well, a question was, you were asking me which saints would I...
Yeah, how do you do that? Because there's so many. There's so many great saints to talk about.
That's a great question. That's a great question. I think for these two saints, the first two saints that I've, like men of God, was St. Ignatius of Agena, and now St. Moses the Black is the next one, are the saints that I wrote and I will direct. So that's something that I somehow spoke to my heart, and I felt that I had a really a refined feeling for that kind of story. Now, there are many other stories that are equally as important and impactful, but my goal, especially being now the executive of the company, is to cherry pick the stories that I feel speak to our current societies. Like, for example, St. Moses the Black, because it's also very socially conscious. I worked really closely from people from inner city of Chicago, and they feel that a movie like this will help their communities very much so. Mm-hmm. So I, and they're in full support of it. So I think the stories that we will pick are stories that would speak to people today, that will be relevant nowadays, and they would challenge our current issues that we have in our society. Because I think that way people would be able to identify with those stories, and they would have more impact on people's lives.
Yeah, especially in a city like Chicago, which is being so challenged right now with crime and so much death, especially in the African American community, that's super, super important. So what is your next, have you thought about your next project after this? I know we're still early in the stage with this film.
Well, there are a few on the radar, but I can't, you know, because we're also open to receive projects. You know, I can't say, obviously, listen, I would love to tackle the story of St. Athanasius the Great, which is very well known in the Roman Catholic world, right? That's one of the greatest saints, and St. Anthony the Great, because that's something that kind of explains a lot about how the church was formed and where even the Bible came from. And I mean, it's kind of an interesting story to tell, right? And there were always obstacles, there were always different kind of wars and conflicts about everything. So people have to understand that what we have today, it didn't just fall from the sky. You know, obviously this is the word of God, but people have to struggle and fight to put out the real truth, right? So this is something that I would like to tackle, but maybe not in the first few films, because the first two films are not going to be a huge budget movies. There'll be a decent budget, but I think if I were to tackle the story of St. George the Great Martyr or St. Athanasius the Great, we would need much greater funds for that. Yeah. So maybe these projects will be coming, but not maybe as a next project. I just want to announce that I think that these kind of projects are fantastic and they're very cinematic. But let's see. I mean, I think as we attach and direct, I'm about to speak to another director, a very famous film director, very, very reputable, about potentially another story. And there are a few stories that I would present to him, and we're going to know which one he chooses to direct. And then we're going to announce publicly.
Yeah, it's so fascinating because the way you present it, but B, the choices we have. I'd love to see something on Blessed, who's soon to be St. Carlo Acutis, because he's such a great witness for young people, especially with the media. That would be another, I think, just since you're asking for people's opinions and people can submit ideas, I think that would be awesome because he's just it's such a modern saint and so very young and used the media so well to inform people about Eucharistic miracles. So tell us a little bit about your story. How did you become so passionate about getting the faith out there in this particular way with films?
Well, I think with me, you know, it's simple that God has played a big role in my life. Now, when I say that, I don't mean so much that I was very religious necessarily. I grew up in ex-Yugoslavia. I didn't know much about faith. My parents were very good people, honorable people, but they at the time, you know, the communism was present. Church, people going to church, it was like a taboo. So we weren't learning anything about it. But I always had strong faith that God existed, that he was this Father in heaven who I could turn to and ask him for help, for guidance. And that was always with me. And when I came to the U.S., that's when I got baptized and I got more serious about my faith. But it's just because my life was not an easy one. I'm not comparing myself to people that had much harder life than me. That's what I want to say. But it was challenging. I was an immigrant, and there were a lot of problems. And at one point, I was a single mom, and in the industry, and it wasn't easy. I had to kind of struggle a lot. But because of my faith in God, I've witnessed miracles. I've seen that he was with me all the way through. And I have this desire, and even when I did Man of God, they asked me, well, why did you do that film? I said, I wrote it and directed it to help those that suffer the most. That's really why I did it. And so I have this need to share with people that the Lord is good and that he is there for us. And apart from the fact that he offers us what's the most important, which is eternal salvation, but also in this world, for people, maybe they're not ready to accept that fully at this moment, just to see that he is loving and real and that you have the ultimate friend, the ultimate protector, and that life, no matter how difficult and grim it is, it can change and it can get better. And this is why I'm doing what I'm doing.
I think that is amazing. And I also think it's a come and see, right? What did Jesus say? Come and see, come and see. And God gives us free will. So the movies that you're doing, the films that you're doing are a great way to invite people. And you do it in a way that people can relate to it, especially in terms of what's happening in our world today. Well, God bless you for this. I'd love to see more of these films. And again, I would put a vote in for Carlo Acutis. And I have to say, my absolute two other saints I would recommend. I'm just going to throw this out there: Saint Teresa of Avila. I love her. She's my number one in my faith, and also Saint Catherine of Siena. But for women, because if you see these women in the church that are so strong and that fought against so much in the church, and then were able to use the gifts that God gave them and to deal with a lot of men with whom they had some issues and yet to come out victorious. Elena, thank you so much. God bless you for your work. SimeonFaith.com, Elena Popovic, CEO of Simeon Faith. Check it out, Moses of Black, the film hopefully going to be released, we're thinking, around Easter time, SimeonFaith.com. We'll be right back on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Speaking about the success the state of New York was having with fighting the coronavirus, Governor Andrew Cuomo insisted that God didn't make things better. Man's hard work did, he said. Bishop Robert Barron addressed this issue in a very powerful YouTube video on the nature of God, reminding us what is written in the book of Isaiah. Lord, it is you who has done everything we have accomplished. Now, of course, Bishop Barron elaborated on that. We're grateful to God for what we're able to accomplish. I have spent years in the communications industry as a reporter, press secretary for the Wayne County Executive, the biggest county in Michigan, and as a communications strategist with my own company. I've covered politics and worked for politicians. I've come to firmly believe that if you're not grounded in public service and in God before you go into politics, you will become consumed by the power and actually start to believe you are God. This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Find us both online, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And don't forget that we have our archive section just for you in case you can't listen for the whole program. You want to go back or you want to send someone a segment of this particular show. My wonderful producer, Andrew Kruchek, usually by midday, he gets everything together and puts it up online so you can go back and listen. He gives you a little introduction and a little background and also links to the various people in terms of their websites and their promotional efforts, what they're doing. For example, I'll have Simeon of Faith up there. You can find out more about Moses the Black and more about Elena Popovic and, of course, more about Father Mitch Pacwa as well, who is celebrating 75 years. His birthday is this weekend. So pray for him, thank God for him, and thank God for the network. So tomorrow, speaking of the network here, Catholic Radio, EWTN, we have our President and Chief Operating Officer, Doug Keck, will join us on a Friday for our Inside Word. We always give you an idea of what's coming up the next few days and weeks. You can keep that in mind and jot it down. And then we also have Fact Check Friday. There is so much to talk about. I have that. I don't know what I'm going to talk about tomorrow because there's so much. How do I, you know, pick the stories? There'll be a lot to discuss. And then, of course, responding to news as we always do for the rest of the program. We will talk to you tomorrow, God willing. Andomani. Have a great Thursday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.